This is the local music revolution. Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. How are you doing, man? It's been a while, about a week. Anything great happen? I bought a car. Does that count for anything? Well, even if it didn't, I bought a car. So yay for me and my wife. On today's episode, I have Fantasy Pillow talking about how great they are. I mentioned this last episode, but I'm going to say it again. When I saw this email roll through with the name Fantasy Pillow as a band name, I was super excited. I'm not going to lie. It was really, really fantastic. So, yeah, you guys get to hear what greatness they are. Rob and Cam are pretty interesting gentlemen. So, yeah, that is a great thing to have in this interview. So for a few weeks now, actually more than a few weeks, I've been hinting at things changing and things going forward and things like that. I'm still not ready to release the news, but I'm ready to, like, be done with this and start moving forward. So just sit tight. I'm finishing up everything that I need to finish up before I announce this, and it's going to be a killer announcement if you've been listening to the Local Music Revolution for any period of time. So thank you very much for your patience, those people that have been asking me about this. In due time, I promise, in due time. In that time, you can actually go and find the Local Music Revolution on social media and follow the Local Music Revolution and be part of the Local Music Revolution and support the Local Music Revolution. And more so than anything, support the bands that I support because they're all amazing. So go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to Twitter at @TLMRpodcast. On Instagram at @thelocalmusicrevolution. On Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. And of course, WordPress, thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. And you'll get all the information you need about the podcast. If you're musicians, there's sign-up pages. Why don't you have an interview with me and be awesome like the rest of the guys? Everybody's doing it. While we're dealing with the peer pressure of everybody following social media and all of that, I really suggest you listen to the rest of these episodes. There's like 70 of them, so if you get really, really bored, you could just binge listen to all of them and, you know, be smarter and more awesome for having done so. All you have to do is go on to iTunes Podcasts, on the Stitcher, on to really any podcast catcher that you follow. Or you can go on to our newest affiliate, longbox.fm. Take a listen to the episodes that are posted up. Let us know how you feel via the social media that we were just pressuring you into following. And yeah, everybody is happier for the entire process. So do that as soon as possible. Now, of course, stringjoy.com, our first, very first sponsor, a year so far that they've been sponsoring the podcast, which is phenomenal. So I guess there's a congratulations for the Local Music Revolution and Stringjoy being affiliated with each other. So thank you very much, Scott and Co, for being so amazing to the podcast and being the first people to actually take an interest in us in a, you know, business kind of way. I can't thank you guys enough, and I will support you guys to the bitter end. So, with that being said, dear listener, stringjoy.com, they customize strings, they customize instrument cables, and they sell guitar picks, which is pretty awesome if you're a guitarist. So, all you have to do is go onto the website, and if you want a custom set of strings, you have to work with them, tell them what you want, the gauges and all of that, or they do have the pre-made set, so all you have to do is purchase those and test out the strings because they are awesome. They are new, straight from the factory, hand-picked, however you want to slice it, they are amazing. So, when you're done with purchasing all of your guitar-related equipment that StringJoy offers, you go to checkout, and when you're at checkout, enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you'll get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Now, without any further ado whatsoever, this is the Fantasy Pillow interview that I've been telling you guys about, because Fantasy Pillow is such a fun name for a band. So check these guys out. All right, I'm here with Rob and Cam from Fantasy Pillow. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys very much for asking. So let's just jump right in here. You're two on your website, or I'm sorry, Facebook. It says that there are three members. So are we missing somebody?
Yeah, we're missing the bass player, Jacob Lightsey. So this is Rob speaking right now. I play guitar and sing, and I play kick drum and a tambourine, foot pedal, and then Cam.
Yeah, I play guitar and a little bit of lap steel and whatever instrument, whatever else we need, kind of miscellaneous to kind of take care of that.
Yeah, and then Jacob's the fretless bass.
Ooh, nice. All right, you guys, so how did you guys get together, and what was the idea behind the band when you first got started?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story of how me and Cam met. This is probably about 1.5 to 2 years ago, and I've been in Boston for about 8 years already from various bands doing my thing. And I kind of come off a sort of long hiatus where I was just writing a lot of songs. And my sister knew that I was looking to get a band together to record a bunch of songs I'd written. And she went coincidentally to a yoga retreat in Virginia where she met Cam's mom, who's attending the same yoga retreat. And they hit it off. And started talking about, you know, their brother and their son and how they're both musicians. They both live in Boston, and we should get these two guys together to play some music. And so my sister sent me a message saying this much and said I should reach out to Cam. And totally outside of what I would normally do, I opened up my computer right away and I sent the guy an email and said we should get together and play some music, and he said he was down, and I picked him up outside of Berkeley the next day, and we played some music. And then
we went fishing. I don't forget. I don't think we started playing right off the bat. We went fishing first.
Yeah, I wined and dined him a little bit.
Yeah.
It was mostly about fishing.
We didn't jump into the music like that. We went fishing.
I knew he was from Virginia, so the first thing I think before I even mentioned the music was, hey, I was going to go to my friend's house in Natick and go fishing.
I was kind of city walk, so I was like, hey, let's get out of the city, check it out.
Yeah.
We got some beers and we went fishing.
That was where the seeds were sown.
Nice. So how did you guys get a hold of Jacob and get him into the mix?
Jacob was a buddy of mine from my freshman year of college. He lived right down the hall from me. We bonded pretty quickly when we met, and he was into a lot of the same music I was into. We were chilling together when the Boston bombing went off. All that fun like story stuff that makes you close to him, and he's just a really good musician. So we've been playing with another bass player for a while, and he moved away to New York with a job, and as soon as he left, I called up Jacob, and Jacob was like immediately down to play. And he adds a lot. He plays the fretless bass, so it kind of brings the sliding and the smoothness to it, and it's real good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a bit of a revolving door of musicians for the first kind of year as we were just experimenting, trying to figure out who we were as a group, and went through a bunch of different, forms of Fantasy Pillow. Even before it was Fantasy Pillow, it probably went through like 25 different band names and shit. And but yeah, this whole me, Cam, Jacob thing didn't really shake out until probably about, I don't think he was in band until maybe a month ago.
Yeah, a month or 2 months ago, yeah. We had a gig and we didn't have, it was just me and Rob, and we had a gig and we had to like figure something out. And we were really close to just canceling the gig because we were looking for a bass player and a drummer. And then that's kind of where I was like, well, I at least got a bass player, so maybe we can make something work with that. And Rob decided to grab the kick drum, and we kind of stripped it back a little bit, and I think it was for the better.
Yeah, actually, that was kind of like, we sort of formed the three-piece with the kick drum and tambo pedal and stuff as like a reaction and sort of from necessity. We had booked this big Halloween show, which, you know, in this town, it's like, you know, getting a Halloween show is one of the biggest shows of the year, as I'm sure it is in most cities. And right after we booked that, the bass player moved to New York, the drummer moved to Seattle, and so we were going to cancel the show, and we were doing really good, so that was kind of like the rug got pulled out from under us, and all bummed out, talked to the promoter and told him I was going to have to cancel, and this promoter kind of like lit a fire under my ass and was like, you know, Rob, I'd expect more than you, or more from you. I would hope you could put something together and show up and play this Halloween show. It's such a big deal that everyone wants to play. And so I kind of thought about that, all bummed out for a day, and was like, fuck it, like, we can do it. And so we just kind of got the whatever instruments and shit we had together. Cam had never played fucking lap steel before, and he just picked that thing up, and, you know, first time we played, we knew we were on something, we just kept going from there.
So, you mentioned the name Fantasy Pillow, and you've been through a bunch of names. How'd you guys settle on that name, and does it mean anything to you guys?
Yeah, so, you know, we've gone through tons of names.
Very generic rock band safe names.
Yeah, everything you can imagine, and some really good ones like Ronald Reagan. I like that one a lot. Vibranaut. We had some good ones that, you know, where was, I think at that time there was, what, four of us in the band, and we just couldn't decide on anything that everybody liked, obviously, you know, the common band issue. So as we're trying to just randomly brainstorm for names, we had this one song that we were working on as a band, and the first verse was all talking about fantasies falling apart, the real fucking emo rock terrible kind of shit. And then towards the end of the song, it starts talking about put your head on the pillow or something, and we couldn't come up with a name for the song, so we just called it Fantasy Pillow. And then I can't remember who had the idea that that might be a good band name, but as soon as I heard that suggested as a band name, I fell in love with it and pushed really hard for Fantasy Pillow to be the name. And nobody would agree to it, and so we had like shitty several other shitty band names between then and when the other band members dropped out of the band for various reasons, to the point where it's just me and Cam, and I could demand that Fantasy Pillow there wasn't as many people to tell me it's a terrible idea anymore, so it stuck.
I kind of eventually I was just like, you know, let's do it, because it's not it's a funky name. It's not a stupid generic rock band safe name like the Black Something or the White Something or whatever the, you know, whatever. So I was just like, let's do it. I don't know.
Yeah. And for me, the name reminds me a lot of Surrealistic Pillow, which is an awesome Jefferson Airplane album.
Definitely a psychedelic
kind of draw from,
And we were always listening to like 60s and 70s psychedelic rock, so that was like, if we were a band in the late 60s when the golden era of rock was happening, what would we call our band type of thing?
Yeah, so we knew it was kind of going to be an ambitious band name to take on as our own, because we would eventually have to sort of live up to whatever Fantasy Pillow seemed to imply.
Nice. So can you guys tell me about the song So Lost Without You?
Yeah. So all these songs on the Ferns Motel EP, to me, I think are really important as part of like the context of the three songs as a whole piece of music. So of that, I used the first track on the EP, and it's kind of this, like, sprawling, sort of psychedelic, sort of mad carnival thing where it seems like the wheels might fall off at any time kind of thing, and the song's really just basically about talking about how when you, you know, you find love and, you know, eventually the love may get out of control and you feel like you're completely lost without that person. There's no real hidden meaning.
Well, all right. Right now, I'm going to play So Lost Without You. I'm back here with Rob and Cam. So you guys mentioned the name of your EP very briefly, so I want to go back to that. You guys decided to call it Fern's Motel. So can you explain to me why you decided to name it that, and it, what the meaning is to you.
I think the main thing that led to Fern's Motel was that it's really tough for a band to find original artwork to represent their music. And it's a predicament that we've been in, you know, for the past few months as we've been trying to kind of make this stuff happen. And I think it's, you know, more and more important these days for people to come up strong on the art aspect. I don't even know if I really want to go that far, but you got to have like a face to your music or some kind of visual thing to look at. And so anything that, you know, any cover that you're going to have for an album or a video you're going to have for your music, it's going to represent your music, and you want it to fit right, that you feel comfortable. So when it came to Ferns, we had a bunch of other names and a bunch of other album cover ideas and stuff. We were thinking about calling it Psychedelic Love Songs. And the main problem was that we had no software that could get us a decent font to write the name of an EP and our band name. We couldn't come up with a good font. That was it. We had a bunch of other names and stuff, and all the fonts looked super cheesy, and I didn't want to throw down a bunch of money to get Photoshop. So I was going through PicMonkey and all these free sites for editing pictures and stuff, and all the fonts were just terrible. So we thought the only way we could get some a good album cover with the writing on it and the picture was to go take a picture of a sign. So we started cruising around by where we live, just looking for things to take pictures of, and Fern's Motel was this old, grimy, abandoned, I don't even know if the hotel building was still even constructed anymore. It might have just been
sign.
It was like in this dingy kind of corner of the city of Malden, Massachusetts, where I live, which is about 10 minutes north of Boston, and drove by once and said, that could be something worth taking a picture of, and then stopped by and took some more pictures. And legitimately, the only reason we went with Fern's Motel was because we got that picture and it looked good.
It reminded us of like the Bates Motel type of thing from Psycho. Had like a David Lynch thing for some reason, so we were just like, it looks cool. It's a quick couple syllables for an album name or EP name, whatever. Let's use it.
Yeah. I guess the main takeaway is that, you know, we kind of accept all these things as just one small piece of the puzzle. What you actually name your EP is not as important as the story behind it or how you came about that, the cover or whatever, the picture you needed, all that kind of stuff. We just kind of, I think, rolled with the punches and it revealed itself to us.
I'm sure it was a very lovely motel when it was a lot of them. I just know it was.
It'd be kind of cool to do some research on that, see what went down at the Ferns.
Yeah, and we'll limit to that Ferns Motel.
I'm sorry.
Well, I guarantee some sketchy shit happened there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, guys. Just based off of the sign, it looks creepy as hell. I'm not gonna lie, man. It looks creepy. So you guys, you put it out about 3 weeks ago, correct? That would be March you put it out, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so how long did it take you guys to record that and write the music for that album?
Writing-wise, Rob had done most of the stuff before the first recording session. I think every song at that point had been written. And I think we had even maybe done a couple shows with those songs, too. Certainly, Tame Love had been a song that we had been playing for a while. And Rob had written that, and then when the whole trio came about, and we were like, all right, well, let's... I'm not going to play guitar. It was like, all right, I'm not going to play guitar. I'm going to force myself to at least learn how to play lap steel for an EP to record on. We're not going to have a drummer. It's going to be really stripped down. So it's like, all right, let's pick these four or five songs. We booked, like, what, 2 days at Echo Studios, like this little small studio in Austin.
Yeah, one of our buddies knows the owner at the studio. That guy was on vacation for the weekend, and he goes, no one's going to be there, and gave the keys to my friend and said if they give us $100, they can record as much as they want while we're gone. So we did it.
So it was a pretty sweet deal that worked out. I think we had, like, maybe, we probably bit off too much that we could chew. We probably did, like, 5 songs, and, like, 2 of them really just, you know, shit the bed. We just weren't playing them well enough. We weren't rehearsed enough. So we dropped those, and then we kind of went back to those 3 songs, Stroke of Love, Tame Love, So Lost. And they just kind of felt right together. We played them right. We didn't use a click. So it was, like, really, the tempos were... It was real dynamic. Everything felt right as far as the basics go. But almost a little too dynamic.
They're all really polite ways to put it.
Yeah. If you listen to some of the songs, man, the tempo is just like, they're all over the place. But that's what I liked about it. It kind of had some character to it. Specifically So Lost. Like, when you listen to the chorus, we probably dropped down maybe, I don't know, I would say maybe like 10 BPM or something ridiculous just to make it that much, in, you know, more impact, you know, more emotional, whatever. So we did that there. It was sounding okay. So the rest of the stuff we did a bunch of overdubs at Cybersound, which is the studio I work at. I had Thursday nights there free. I'd done like a year doing the free intern stuff. So they give me free time, and we just kind of went in, did all the vocal overdubs, the guitar overdubs. But basically everything you're hearing on that EP, all the basics, the kick, the tambourine, the bass, and the lap steel were all kept live. No crazy editing, really. Just we kind of kept it raw as much as we could, and we overdubbed guitar and vocals. And then mixed it fairly quickly. I think we were sitting on it for about a month, and then we were just like, we kind of forced ourselves to put it out, you know.
Nice. Get it done.
Yeah. That was kind of the big thing, was like forcing ourselves to like, all right, let's, we know we have the song, let's go ahead and let's get it mixed and let's put it out.
Yeah. But quick moving overall, like, you know, we conceived of the 3-piece stripped down band idea and played that first show on Halloween, probably went into the studio. It was like right after that Halloween show, we said, all right, well, we should record this.
Yeah.
And then went in probably the end of November into the studio, yeah. Maybe.
No, I think it was end of December.
Oh, yeah, that's what happened, because everyone had to go away for holidays and shit, yeah. So we didn't get to the studio until after that. So it was a pretty quick process from, you know, after the holidays till, you know, when we released it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Nice. So let me stop you there. Can you tell me about the song Tame Love? Is there anything else that you would like to add to what you've already stated?
Yeah, actually. So Tame Love is the second song on the EP. Basically, we're kind of going for with the song order was the life cycle of any kind of love affair, but in reverse. So Tame Love is right in the middle where you're kind of seeing that you got this love affair that could go and... you know, one of 2 directions. You know, it can be very tumultuous and get out of control, or if you really want to save this instead of going for that kind of instant gratification that people look for in romance, if both people worked at it, then you'd have a chance at having a lasting relationship. And the song is basically asking, which are we going to choose? And the last line of the song, I think, kind of sums it up. It's just like, it says, are you going to help me tame our love or watch it fade away? And that's basically what it comes out of. One cool thing about it is that the first line of the song is, I want to know how it's going to be. Will you still give your love to me? And that was kind of the whole idea of the song. Came right after I heard that, like, Bo Diddley thing. It was a Bo Diddley rhythm, but it was a Buddy Holly song. And he goes, I want to know, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be, you're going to give your love to me or something. And I took that whole idea and I turned it into this insecure question. I want to know how it's going to be, are you still going to love me, all this. And I kind of kept that idea and that phrasing. That's where that song came from.
Nice. All right, well, right now I'm going to play Tame Love. ¶¶ Alright, I'm back here with Rob and Cam. So you guys were talking before the break about the recording for your EP, Fern's Motel. And you said you did that around the Christmas holiday. You guys went into the studio. You guys were going to do 5 songs, but the 3 made it to the final cut. So how did you guys prepare for that? And more importantly, how did you guys decide that these 3 were the ones that you wanted to keep?
I think the biggest thing was just as far as deciding those 3, I guess when we played it back, that was kind of like, you know what, these songs, these ones work, the other ones aren't working. And so that's what we're like, all right, let's just do a couple more overdubs on these 3 songs and we'll put it out as a three-piece set. Magic number 3. So I don't know. That's just, I think that was really it. We didn't really know what it was going to sound like going into it. I don't think the only thing we knew is that it was going to be, we were going to try to keep it as live as possible, and we were going to try to keep it stripped back. We knew there was going to be no drums, so it was going to be a little trickier to keep up with the tempo and keep the tempo consistent. But we just kind of went for it. And like I said, those 3 just kind of sounded the best when I played it back.
You also said that you kept some of the elements completely raw. Was that an actual decision you guys made before recording, or was it after listening to it back, it just had that sound you wanted?
I think it was definitely playing it back. We were like, we knew that there was a few things, like particularly Stroke of Luck. I remember listening back to that, and it sounded good, but there was something that felt right about it, like particularly the ending. If you listen all the way through that song, there's like this crazy climax at the end where we're just kind of, I think I like put a loop pedal on, or like a delay pedal, and just kind of kept feeding back and looping, and you know, Rob was going crazy, Mike and Jacob was going crazy, and it just felt right at the end. It felt like a perfect way to end the EP. So we decided that would be the good way to end it. We knew that there was a few things we needed to change, but that was like, the foundation was there. It was emotionally, the foundation was there, so we kept it.
Yeah, you should have, like, after those, that first day in the studio, when we just heard those rough tracks, we didn't really know what to think. Me and Cam were both kind of like on the edge between, should we scrap this whole thing? Are we crazy to try to pursue this? And this is after hearing back, you know, the 5 songs we had just recorded. And even after cutting those two, we have those three songs, and from those, the rough first session to what came out at the end, it was like a humongous change. So it's kind of like a big leap of faith, and I think, like Cam said, it's like there's little things like that. The end of what song was it?
Stroke of Love.
Stroke.
That just felt like we really captured like a moment in the end of that.
Yeah, and what you're hearing is basically that moment in the studio. That sounds like the most produced and touched on part of the whole entire EP, but it's probably one of the least, actually. We put a bunch of overdubbed a bunch of vocals on top of it, but that's about it. The whole entire like build and the feeling, and that was all real captured, and we didn't really do too much. That was from the original session.
Mm-hmm. The bridge is a little bit we had some fun lap steel overdubs in the bridge, but the foundation is there. That's what we played in the studio, that's what we kept.
Nice, man, nice. All right, so what are your plans for the future? You guys had told me a little bit about this earlier before we started recording, but is there anything that you wanted to talk about right now about the future and what your plans are?
Well, we got a bunch of new songs that we have recorded, and some of which are already mixed. A couple are like very close to being finished, so I think our next move is put out more music. We're going to put out another collection of songs. We might call it an EP, might call it an album. These new songs we have are a little different because, I mean, they're still very Fantasy Fella, but they're certainly different in the sense that a lot of them I've written the basics for, and a lot of them are kind of just DIY, throw it together on the laptop, and then give it to Rob so Rob can come up with the lyrics and the melodies, and then we see where we can go from there. So I think this next one's going to be extra special. I think it's going to be different. I think it's going to be, it's just another step, you know?
Yeah. Ferns was more like my singer-songwriter kind of vision that Cam, with his producer mind, was helping to bring to fruition. And I think moving forward, we're starting a lot of our songs from things like work that Cam's doing as a producer in the studio. He's got a lot of awesome, like, great song ideas and starts and things that I'm building off of. So it's a lot more collaborative, and it's like you can hear it in the songwriting, you can hear it in the production. Everything is taking like big steps forward and upward.
Yeah, a lot of my ideas are cool or whatever, but they're not really songs until Rob like puts his demo on it, and then we gotta like, and then that's when it goes to the next thing. Then it turns into a song.
Nice, man. All right, so do you guys have any names? Are you guys at that point yet? You said that they were in mixing phase, so are you guys still going to studio, or are you guys doing that yourself as well?
Yeah, we still go to Cybersound every Thursday. I'm there every Thursday, so we're always working on stuff there. There's always like kids coming in and out, just hanging out with us. A lot of times we don't even know who they are, and they'll just be there. Sometimes they're even really talented musicians, and they'll just start singing on it too, or whatever. We just kind of let it happen that way, and on Thursdays, and then whatever else we can do, I'll do it at home if I have to, whatever. You know, we just try to make it work, and
yeah, just trying to put out good stuff, not tied down to any genre. We'll work with any musicians that happen to be in arm's reach at the time we feel like playing music, and we'll try to get it recorded. And so the whole Fantasy Pillow is always changing and flexing and vibrating and doing all sorts of cool things.
That is awesome.
We could plug the Make Me Bad single.
Yeah, we got a single that basically done with my cousin-in-law is making a video type thing for it, so this will have like a visual element. We're going to release that single in probably a week or two, and then we got another EP. We're not sure. The single's called Make Me Bad.
It's supposed to be rock too. It's
got a full drum set.
Yeah.
It's a rock and roll song. It's not about love.
we're past it now.
Alright guys, so can you tell me about, I'm sorry, do you have any more to tell me about Stroke of Luck?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Stroke of Luck was a really cool experience. writing a song. I had my best friend from back home since, you know, we were kids growing up together, this guy AJ. He's getting married last summer, and he asked if I'd play a song at his wedding. And so I decided to, I didn't want to play a cover at his wedding because I thought that would be kind of corny. So I decided to write a song for his wedding. And I don't think I had ever really tried to write a song for a specific occasion or purpose or anything. So I kind of wrote that on a deadline so that I could play it at his wedding. And it ended up being one of the songs that I was just most proud of. Still today, I think I love it a lot, and it's really special because I think it means a lot to them too.
All right.
Yeah, I did that at a seventh grade talent show. Nice.
All right. So right now, I'm gonna play "Stroke of Luck."
Stroke of luck made life easy for us. We got each other. You and I, we make out all right when left in each other's arms. That's when I love my life with you the most. When there's no
yeah. All right, I'm still back here with Rob and Cam. So, gentlemen, we're getting to the end of this interview. So my last question to you is, how can people find you? Where can they hear your music? And where can they keep up with you so they can see this future of Fantasy Pillow?
Well, I've got a Facebook page, which is RLFP, as in Robert Lozier Fantasy Pillow Music, RLFP Music. SoundCloud is just RLFP. For Robert Lozier Fantasy Pillow. Send us a message on any of those things. My phone number is 860-502-9131, so you can call my phone and just say hello anytime. But, yeah, we're always looking for people to just, you know, kind of reach out and let us know, you know, either that they're listening or that they're in a band and in the same situation or they want to work together, just anything. It's good to be part of a community, so... please do reach out somehow.
In terms of ourselves on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube?
Wherever you stream and find stuff, Ferns is on all that, so you can find the music and where you find music.
You can listen to it when you're walking your dog. You can listen to it when you're making breakfast.
Dishes.
Doing dishes. Working out. Actually, I probably wouldn't work out to it.
Yeah, it goes good with hot sauce.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate your time and you being here. It's been an amazing ride. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. You guys have a good night.
You too, brother.
All right, come on. And that was Fantasy Pillow. Up next is the Dirtbag Block of Rock featuring the Rebel Few. Little backstory before we get into this. I found out about the Rebel Few through Sterling Weinfeld, the producer, engineer, guy from Pantera Records. I follow him on Facebook, and he was like up to date with everything that was going on with the band while they were recording with him. And it was super awesome. So like, I became a fan of them, and it's super awesome that Dirtbag was able to do an interview with these guys. So, without boring you anymore, here is Dirtbag Block of Rock featuring Dirtbag Smitty talking to the Rebel Few.
Welcome to the Dirtbag Block of Rock on Cranked Up Live. I got Chris Raposo on the phone, ladies and gentlemen, from the band A Rebel Few out of Cambridge, Ontario. Chris, tell everybody hello.
How's it going, everybody? How you doing?
So tell me about this video, man. You know, how was it produced? Where did you guys do it? What was the budget? Did you guys have fun? What sucked about it?
That's a funny story because I actually broke into a place to do it.
Nice.
I don't know if I should be saying that, but a friend of ours told us about an abandoned factory, and we were all over it because you could smell the rat and the raccoon everywhere. I was like, yeah, this is rock and roll. Oh, let's breathe this shit in and make a video.
Oh, it's amazing.
But yeah, we were running like generators in the back trying to keep the lights going. They were popping all kinds, and it was like, but it was fun. We had a guy, Ryan Cannon, a local guy from where we are here, and he came out and gave us a killer video, man. There was like little things. We always like to go a little bit further with stuff and throw in like, you know, the hidden messages and hidden just eye candy for people who actually pay attention to see who's paying attention, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you watch it closer, you'll see pop up and you'll be like, what the hell was that?
Oh, that's fun.
But it was a blast. And we actually have another one coming out the end of the month. And this one is just, it's saying it. Watching it, it plays like a movie, man. It was like proud as hell that we managed to be able to get it done.
Outstanding.
And I was actually wearing my Dirtbag in this one, brother. Because I've forever been wearing it till it stinks, I'll tell you that much. Wait till you meet us. You'll go, he wasn't joking. Keep an eye out for that one. It's for the title track, Rebel Few.
Nice.
And I think it's badass, and I'm hoping everybody else thinks it is too.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see it, man. I really enjoy you guys' music, and I like the videos that I've seen so far. Talking to you today has been fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Raposo, singer guitar player for the Canadian band A Rebel Few. Chris, you got any last things you'd like to say to everybody?
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. Hey, man, check us out. Get online, Facebook, everywhere you can find us. Chris Raposo here, fronting A Rebel Few, and this is our single, A Rebel Few, from As the Crow Flies on the Dirtbag Block of Rock.
From the band A Rebel Few and other Dirtbag endorsed artists, visit Dirtbag.com. For the full interview, subscribe to our YouTube page at Dirtbag Clothing 1996. The Dirtbag Block of Rock is brought to you by Dirtbag Clothing on Cranked Up Live, sponsored by EMG Pickups.
All right, so that was the interview. Thank you guys so much for listening, being around this long. Super awesome of you. Also, thank you very much for Dirtbag and Dirtbag Smitty for throwing the Dirtbag interview, Dirtbag Block of Rock, this way so that we can feature it on this episode. Super awesome to be affiliated with Dirtbag as well. Super awesome clothing company, so you guys got to take a look at that. All my guitar straps are Dirtbag. So is my lanyard. So is, like, you know, my sweatbands and stuff like that when I play the drums. That's all Dirtbag all day. By the way, that is dirtbag.com. Go check out their clothing and their hats. Their hats are super awesome, too. On next week's episode, it is really awesome that I've been able to do some of this stuff that I've been able to do with this podcast. One thing is having a local bar / venue text me and say, hey, why aren't you at the venue? You should actually be here, like, as soon as possible. So I show up with my gear in hand because I know that's what they like, you know. They like the fact that I do interview, and hey, you know what? It gives me an extra episode or two to work with. So thank you to Barmageddon, specifically Matt, for notifying me of this great band that we're going to be featuring next week. It's called Art and the Resistance. And these guys are an amazing show. Like, my goodness, I was super enamored with these guys. And then being able to interview them, it was supposed to be like a 15 to 20 minute thing, and it turned into a 48 minute thing, just joking around and having fun after a show. So, yeah, next week is Art and the Resistance being featured on the Local Music Revolution. So tune in, it's going to be awesome. And this wraps it up. Another one is in the books, you guys. This is amazing. This is number 75. There's only 25 episodes until I reach number 100. So, does anybody have any clue on what we should do? If you do, social media, you know, at the beginning, I'll do it again now. Facebook.com/TheLocalMusicRevolution. On Twitter, at TLMR Podcast. On Instagram, at The Local Music Revolution, and on Tumblr, at tumblr.com/TheLocalMusicRevolution, and then thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com for all the crazy updates that we're going to be doing. So keep in touch. Let me know if there's something special you want to do for the 100th episode. Like, seriously, let me know, because that is going to be a great one. Until next time, this is The Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
This is the local music revolution.